Access Radio Sport.
Fastamai, good evening. It's Friday and that means it's time for a look ahead to all the sporting action taking place on the island this weekend. I'm Sian Cowper and between now and 6:30pm we'll be talking football, hockey and rugby. Joining me this evening, FC Isle of Man's interim manager says he's expecting a tough match when the Ravens welcome back West Didsbury and Chorlton to the bowl, but there's good squad news for the Manx club. Several sides will be thinking of silverware with ECAP FA Cup quarter-final and semi-final action, plus it's the semis in the GH Corlett Woods Cup. And there are titles to be claimed in hockey as well as the start of this year's Manx Cup in rugby. That's all to come this evening. Well, first tonight, we'll focus on football, and it's a packed fixture list for Saturday afternoon with cup and league fixtures. Our football correspondent, Tony Meppam, has been looking ahead to all the action with Christian Jones.
Well, St John's against St George's. We were hoping to get this game played last week, but we couldn't. St George's free week, and we honoured that one. Both of them know that it's there to be had. St John's last week, a good result, or should I say a good performance against Moran. But St George's, if they've got all their star men like Sean Quay, Chris Bass, Kieran McNulty and others in that team, then I think St George's will start off as slight favourites. But St John's have got their top quality players as well, and Will Penhorick, Sam Ingham were solid last week. But up front, it's left to Callum Taggart at the moment, with Dean Lees playing for FC Isle of Man.
And they'll be playing Corinthians next week.
Yeah, the winners will play Corinthians. They've just got to sit and watch how this one goes. But looking at the ECAP FA Cup semi-final, the one that we can play, Christian, is Peel against Laxey. Well, last week these two met at the same venue, and Peel came out worthy winners. So they'll be hoping to get the same sort of performance that they got last week. Paul Whitehead, Lee Gale had good performances, but great to see Luke Doherty back in, come back from injury. So he'll make Peel sort of tick and keep things solid at the back. But Laxey, we know the star players. And a couple of weeks ago, Tina Garvey got a couple of goals. And also Brodie Patience, excellent players. But Peel's defence, I think, just mastered them last week. And they'll be trying to just change things down a little bit different and see if they can exploit them and get themselves into that ECAP FA Cup final, which will be played on Easter Saturday.
Now, GH Corlett Woods Cup semi-finals, the first game of that's getting underway at 1:45.
Yeah, the reason for this is obviously FC Isle of Man kick off at 6, so we just need to give a little bit more time, because these are cup games. So it means after 90 minutes, if they're still all square, it goes into extra time, and it's still all square, we're going to penalties. So that's why. And St Mary's against Jim's, I'm not going to be cruel here, but I don't think it'll go into extra time or penalties. I could be wrong. When you look at the league tables, St Mary's are way ahead of Jim's. And I just think St Mary's know that this is a great opportunity for a club that this time last year didn't have a club. So it's an incredible little story, this one, that they sat out last year to rebuild. And here we are with them potentially going to get promoted and potentially playing in the Woods Cup final on Good Friday. But I see in that one only one winner. I'm sorry, Jims, but St Mary's to take that. And in the other one, Castletown against Foxdale. Castletown drew last week again with Michael. And a little bit of a disciplinary issue at the end of the game. So that's cost them dearly, with possibly one or two players missing. We'll wait and see if those suspensions have come through. But I think Foxdale certainly know that they've got a good chance here to get themselves into a final. And, you know, Foxdale deserve it. They're one of those sides that keep chipping away in football, and then whatever faces them, they just sort of roll their sleeves up and work hard and try and get there. And when you look at Foxdale aren't in that top four, then it'd be a great, great story for them if they could beat Castletown. I think they've got a good chance.
And of course, we've got the Canada Life Premier League. Are there any standout fixtures in there?
Well, I think the one you've got to look at is Corinthians, because Corinthians last week played, Corinthians were third. They played second place Union Mills and beat them 7-1. So that was a bit of a statement, I think, for Corinthians. If they won their four games in hand, they're still 3 points behind Peel, who the league leaders. So it's just a question of, you know, pick up as many points as they can. They've got an awful backlog. That's going to be a struggle for them, I think, when the night games start. But against an old boys side that have got a lot of experience in there, but old legs, might just find the younger legs of Corinthians a little bit tough for them. But the Onchan Douglas Royal one, we had a game last week, Royal against Onchan up at Bala Fletcher. Douglas Royal won that 4-1. Onchan are going to find it tough going again, but they need some points because they're languishing towards the bottom of the Canada Life Premier League. And Rushen against Ayr, big game, I think, for both sides. Rushen being a bit disappointing over the last couple of fixtures. And I just think at the moment, Ayr have got the bit between their teeth, and I'm going to go for Ayr take victory.
And now looking at the DPS Limited Division 2.
It's a little bit calmer in this one because your top teams haven't got too much pressure, I don't think. Douglaston District against Braddon. Braddon, if there was a slip-up by the teams near the top, then Braddon are nicely poised to step in. But against D&D, they should win. Michael United against Colby. Two tremendous results. They beat Castan, then drew with Castletown against a Colby side that have got one or two players back in. But I don't think they're going to be strong enough. I'll go for Michael. And Douglas Athletic against Ramsey Youth Centre. Even though Ramsey Youth Centre got beat comfortably last week, I just think at the moment Douglas Athletic struggling to get a team out, so you have to go for Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys to win.
Quite a few in the Canada Life Combi 1.
Yeah, and I know one of your work colleagues, Tessa, is watching this one with keen eyes because, you know, Rushen are still unbeaten this season. They've won every single game they've played in. But Ramsey against Corinthians, it's always a good battle, but I'll go for Corinthians. I know the squad's quite strong. Laxey against Rushen, as I say, they haven't lost any points this year, so I've got to go for Rushen to win that. Ayr against Peel, I'll go with Peel. And Moran against St John's. St John's are really strong in this league. They didn't play last week, but hopefully the game will be fine this week, and I'll go for St John's to beat Moran.
And who do you think is going to swing in favour of the DPS Limited Combi 2?
Yeah, it's a tougher call in DPS Division 2 because Combi 2 because there's teams always sort of down on players or maybe got some players back in there. But Foxdale against Michael, I'm going to go for Foxdale to win in that one. Braddon against Douglaston District, I'll go with Braddon. And then two of the top teams, Malou against St Mary's. Malou did the job last week. They beat Ramsey Youth Centre, so that puts them top of the table. And against St Mary's, even though they've got games in hand, I think it's more pressure on St Mary's. They need to win this if they're going to win the DPS Limited Combi 2, and I think they're going to do it.
And then, of course, we've got the NWCFL Premier Division, FCL of Man versus West Didsbury.
Yeah, this kicks off 6 p.m. at the Bowl. I watched FCL of Man last week, and I felt really sorry for them because with that Sean Doyle hat-trick, you just thought, the cruising here is brilliant, and I was so happy for Sean Doyle because he's had a real tough time with his injury and everything. But then just in the second half, it just went away for them. And, you know, it was a shame, really, that it went the way it did. But they couldn't do anything about it. You know, it's one of those, forget it, move on. But against West Disby, that's going to be a tough fixture as well.
Well, as we heard from Tony and Christian, FC Isle of Man are also in action tomorrow night when they'll be aiming to bounce back from that gut-wrenching 5-3 defeat to Longridge Town. For most teams, coming to the Bowl is a unique experience, but this week's opponents know exactly what it's like to play on the island. West Didsbury and Chorlton were here last season, with FC Isle of Man scoring a last-minute winner in a thrilling tie at the Bowl, on the way to both clubs securing promotion to North West Counties Football League Premier Division. Interim manager Paul Jones told Christian it'll be another tricky match for the Ravens.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. We've got 6 games to go this season, and every game's an important one to build on our performance levels. And a lot of our supporters will remember the game at the Bowl last year against West Didsbury and Chorlton, where we had about 2,700 people there, and we managed to beat them in the very last minute 4-3 in a scintillating game. And I think that was one of the kind of iconic moments of the club so far in terms of the atmosphere that was created and the result on the day and the memories that people got of that game. And although we can't promise that this Saturday's game will have the same feeling about it, you know, we're really looking forward to it. You know, it's one of those clubs that bring a good support with them. They're a lovely bunch when they come over, and yeah, we can't wait to get stuck in.
Now, you are going to be heading into this match following a disappointing defeat. How have the players responded since then?
They've been excellent. It was disappointing in terms of the result. You know, for large parts of the game, or certainly the first half of the game, we were excellent. So, you know, we've identified what we did really, really well in the first half and discussed a little bit and worked on things that we could have done a little bit better in the second half, and they've been brilliant. You know, we've trained really well on Tuesday morning and again this morning, and hopefully, you know, I expect to see how we played first half all the way through the game on Saturday. So they've been really, really good, and they have been since day one, and they're raring, yeah, to get going again and to show that they've developed and learnt and can put the things into practice we've been working on this week.
Now, West Didsbury and Charlton have been to the ball before, as you just said. As teams, you probably know each other quite well already, but are you expecting it to be a tough contest?
Very much so. They were promoted with us, or we were promoted with them. They won our division last year, and they're kind of fairly comfortable in ninth place in the league and have done really well in the league and also in the cup competition. So, yes, it'll be a really tough game, but every game in this league's a tough one at the moment for every team. So, really, as I said before, they're a lovely bunch. They bring a noisy group of fans with them who make a great atmosphere home and away. And, yeah, it should be a special occasion once again at the ball.
Now, when you know a team quite well, does that make it harder or easier when you kind of know what they're about already?
In some ways easier, because you've got a feeling for what they're going to try and do and maybe where you can exploit that a little bit. But in the same way, it's harder because they know us quite well and they maybe are aware of our strengths and areas that they could exploit. So it becomes more of an interesting kind of tactical battle, I guess, because you're well aware of each other's strengths and weaknesses, and it can be a good thing because you can prepare well, but also maybe you can overthink it. And sometimes I can be guilty of that. So you kind of, you just need to trust what you're good at and trust the players and go and deliver that. And then if you do a good job, you give yourself a better chance of getting 3 points at the end of the game.
Now, you've announced your squad and defender Chris Cannell is returning. He hasn't played for the club since August. So how big of a boost is this to have him back?
I think, yeah, when you have any player that is a really good human being who is just a hard worker and who has been out for so long with an injury, it's a great boost for everybody at the club to have them back in and around. And he's been back around for a little while now, and we've just made sure we've spoken to him and made sure that he comes back in the right time and in the right way. So he's got a long career in the game still, rather than rushing him back and breaking him again. So, you know, we've had a few players this season who have had, you know, serious injuries, and he's one of the last ones now to kind of come back and be fit. And this weekend is a good game for him to come back in and around the group. We've got two games in 2 days next weekend, so we'll need more players, and we need players to be fit and around the group. So it's with that in mind, really, Chris is back involved, and he's a great person to have around, very experienced. And hopefully the younger players or the less experienced players will benefit from him being there.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to hockey now. For a number of the island's clubs, this is the penultimate round of fixtures, but there are still several league titles to be clinched. Our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham has been taking a look at the fixtures with Paul Moran.
Yeah, and the first game sees Castletown B against Backers A, 12:35 at Castle Rushton High School. Big game for both teams. Backers A, middle of the league, and could do with just keeping the getting the points and just cementing their position. But Castletown B need them more. If they fail to get anything out of this weekend, they could be relegated. So big game for both teams. And then the biggest game of them all, and the game of the day I've got marked down, is this one, which is at 2:05 at King William's College, which we're going to cover for Saturday Live. Castletown A against Valkyries A. If Castletown A get a point out of this game, they will be Ladies Premier champions. So big game for Castletown A. But could Valkyries cause an upset and get a shock victory here? We'll see on the day.
All sorted in the men's premier, but three games to look forward to.
And the first game in this league is at 12:35 at the NSC, and it sees Backers B against Ramsey A. This is a relegation battle game, this. Both teams pretty much on each other's toes. Backers B at the minute, currently bottom. Ramsey just ahead. So this is a really big game, and unfortunately the loser out of this one could find themselves being relegated, but we'll see how it plans out. The next game in this league, again at the NSC, but this time at 2:05, is a big one. Backers A against Vikings A. This game always has a lot of feisty tackles, but Backers A crowned champions last weekend. I think Vikings A will try and stop Backers A's unbeaten run to the end of the season, but Backers A have looked really strong this season, so I'm going to go for a Backers A win there. And the final game at 2:05 at Castle Rushton High School is Castletown A against Falkirk A. This will be a close game. Both these teams middle of the league and have had pretty much the same sort of season, but I think Castletown A might just come out on top on this one, but don't rule out Valkyries maybe causing a surprise here.
Ladies Division 1 also can be concluded across the weekend. Three big games.
And the first game is at 12:35 and it sees Valkyries B against Backers C. Backers C, bottom of the league, need points. If they don't get anything out of this game this weekend, they will be relegated. Valkyries B though, second place in the league, I think it'll be a tough ask for Backers C. The next game in this league again at 12:35 at Ramsey Grammar School is Ramsey A against Harlequin. If Harlequins A get a point out of this game, they will be crowned champions this weekend. So a big game for Harlequins there. And then the final game sees Backers B against Vikings B at 3:35 at Ramsey Grammar School. This will be a close game as well. Both these teams, middle of the league. It could possibly go either way or it could end as a stalemate, but it'll be a close game, I reckon.
Two games in Men's Division 1.
First game sees Vikings C against Harlequins B at 3:35 at QE2. This is a big game for both teams. Harlequins B, bottom of the league, only 2 points behind Vikings C, but have got a better goal difference over Harlequins B. Should Harlequins B win this game this weekend? But if Vikings C win this game this weekend, Harlequins B will be relegated. So a big game for both teams here. And then the final game in this league is Harlequins A against Vikings B, 3:35 at the NSC. Harlequins A need just a point out of this game to clinch the men's Division 1 title, so a lot riding on this game.
Ladies Division 2, a bit more complex, not as clear cut as the others, but still possible it could be won.
Possibly could be won this weekend depending on results. So the first game, it's 2:05 at QE2 and it sees Harlequins B against Valkyries C. That'll be a close game, bottom of the league game, so I'm sure it'll be a nice friendly game there. Second game sees Ramsey B against Vikings C. Again, a mid-league game, and I'm sure it'll be a nice friendly game as well. But then the big one really is the Castletown Derby, and this sees Castletown C against Castletown D. Castletown D did slip up last week and lost 2-1 to Ramsey B last weekend, but Castletown C have jumped now ahead of Castletown D, who were top of the league. So if Castletown C win this weekend, it could potentially wrap up the ladies Division 2 title.
Couple of games in men's Division 2.
Yep, and it's Derby Day in Division 2. So the first game is at 11:05, sees Castletown C against Castletown B, 11:05 at Castle Rushton High School. That'll be a good game, I reckon. Castletown Derby is always a good game to watch, but Castletown B obviously will be favourites for this one, and if they win this game this weekend, I think that will pretty much secure men's Division 2 title for them. And then the final game is another derby between Backers C and Backers Colts, 12:35 at King Williams College. And you'd have to say Backers Colts with their young legs will be a bit more pacier than Backers C's old, let's say, veteran legs.
Well, finally this evening, one of the highlights of the Manx rugby season gets underway tomorrow afternoon as the opening round of ties in the Ravenscroft Manx Cup get underway. There are some tweaks to the format for the competition this year, though. Our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian, joins me to explain. So, Dave, how will the cup work this year?
Gee, that's a great question, Sean. What I find is this is the most controversial and sought-after competition out of everything that gets done at any other part of the rugby season. Everybody really buys into the competition. But in 2018-19, it all changed around a little bit. We changed it from being a straight knockout to a round-robin league basis. Everybody played each other home and away, and that gave us a league table. And when all the fixtures were completed, the top two played off in the cup final. And that was 18-19. 21-22, we went back to that round robin formula. Ramsey won it last year, and this year we're in the round robin formula again. And we have Ramsey, Douglas, Vagabonds and Southern Nomads competing. The smaller clubs decided it wasn't for them. There's no home and away. Everybody plays each other once. It's like that sort of Six Nations format. We're definitely playing first against second in the Manx Cup final, 22nd of April. That's down at Portishee. There's talk at the moment of a potentially third versus fourth as a warm-up for the Cup final. Like I said, the Manx Cup is the one that everybody wants to win.
So with that round-robin format then, it means we have two fixtures this weekend. Ramsey taking on Douglas at Moorook Park. What can you tell us about that one?
Douglas are probably the top of the pile. They have to be the overwhelming favourites for the competition. They play at level six in the RFU's rugby pyramid in England. Ramsey aren't in the league system anymore. That was a simple financial decision that was made. Douglas have struggled in their league this year. They've finished third from bottom. They avoid relegation, so they get another season at it. But that standard that they played at and the 22 fixtures they have under their belt so far means that they're going to be pretty much on it for Ramsey tomorrow. And it's going to be very, very difficult for Ramsey. Douglas seem to have taken a rather philanthropic approach to team selection. They've picked some guys that I wouldn't normally expect to regularly see in their first team. So Dave Sherwin gets a nod at hooker. Chris Bolland's in at tight head prop. Normal starting prop forward Simon Hodden out. He's going to appear in the centres. Nick Kane also getting a shout out as well. Coach Phil Kringle not playing himself because he doesn't have to. But they've got some big guns on the bench. Neil Killier, Bryn Snellgrove, Guy Wood, all waiting there on the bench. That will be, I'm going to guess here, that in case Ramsey look like they might be winning, they'll bring big guns on just to close it out. Ramsey have got their own problems this week as well. They're missing a couple of regulars. Ben Hardman at hooker's missing. Eddie Lord at second row missing. Halfback, another problem for them. Daniel Richmond, normally the scrum half, broken finger. Connor Goodall and Tom Moffat, who you'd expect to see in the number 10 jersey. Tom's injured for a long-term knee injury from the start of the season, and Connor Goodall's swanned off to the Far East on a trip around the world. So after fill in at in the number 10 jersey, they brought back Fintan Cummins. He's had 100 league appearances for the club, so he should be a reasonable replacement. The big man that everybody's been talking about this season domestically, Brendan Atchison, he's going to go off onto the wing. He scored probably in the region of 40 tries this season in all competitions. He is really quick when he gets the ball, but everybody else is going to have to work a bit harder to get the ball to him. So an intriguing fixture on paper. Douglas should win that. 2:15 kickoff, Moorook Park.
And that means in the other fixture, it's Vagabonds against Southern Nomads. What can we expect there?
Again, this is a tricky one. Difficult to call it, really, Sean. Vagabonds finished next to bottom in their league. Still no word whether or not they'll be relegated. The measuring stick, I think, between them and Southern Nomads is that they both played Port Sunlight. Nomads in the Cheshire Bowl and Vagabonds in the league. Vagabonds won away at Port Sunlight in the league, and Nomads lost away at Port Sunlight in the Cheshire Bowl. I'm not sure you can read anything into that, but you would get the feeling perhaps Vagabonds a little bit stronger. And again, Vagabonds, similar to Douglas, they've had a full campaign of league fixtures. I think they've played 17 out of their 18, which means that they've got a squad out there that's been playing proper hard rugby all season, whereas Southern Nomads may be restricted to half a dozen games, similar to Ramsey. Player-wise, the two men that caused all the damage in their final game against Bury for Vagabonds were Mark Oldfield and Daniel Bomwick. But you can't always shine the spotlight on them guys. The front five have been growing great guns. Joe Lowe and Mitch Weld prop. I know Joe Lowe's not available this weekend. Jack Kane's going to fill in for him in the number one jersey, or A as it is at Vagabonds. They wear ABC for their front row. But that front five there has been doing a lot of damage to the sides they're playing. They're the guys who are making the spaces for the likes of Oldfield and Bomwick in broken play to pick up points. On paper, Vagabonds got to start favourites, but Southern Nomads, and I haven't seen a team sheet for them just yet, not quite released, but they've got some cracking players on their own. Ori Watterson will play at pretty much any position in the forward pack, from 1 through to 8. He's a good straight runner, difficult to put down, and he carries the ball really, really well. They've got an experienced set of halfbacks, captain George Collister at scrum half, Mark Young at 10, and outside of them, there's some guys with some real pace, Tony Quinn, Will Tazier, and Tom Collister. On paper, Vagabonds and Bella Fletcher, going to fancy them.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, that's just about all we have time for this evening. Don't forget, we'll recap all the fixtures and bring you any postponements on Saturday Live with Paul Moran from 12:30 tomorrow. And at 5pm on our AM frequency, you can join Sam Spooner to find out all the results. That's all from me this evening. Have a very good weekend.